It's interesting, you know. He goes to a citizen of that country, the scriptures say. Well, what country? Well, that's the country over the hill. He left the farm. He went into a big world. He went over the hill to another land, so to speak, another culture, so to speak. There is where they took his money. There is where they helped him waste his money. There is where he became so low, he's in the pig yards feeding the pigs, and he's thinking the pigs are better off than I am. He's low, he's desperate. How did he get in the pig yard? Well, a citizen of that country said, I got a job for you. Nice little Jewish boy. You should go feed pigs. That'd be a good job for you. What's my point? He goes back to the citizen of the country that took him to the cleaners. He goes back to a citizen of the country that he gets no help from in the beginning, but somehow he thinks in desperation they will help him now. Lonely, broken homes, sickness, COVID, despair, all hope is lost. What do you do when you have marriage problems? Well, you go to a marriage counselor. Oh, great. He should be an expert by now because he's on his third marriage. Oh, well, I have financial problems, so I need to go to a financial counselor. Well, he should be an expert now because he's had three bankruptcies. He knows how to wiggle out of those things. I say that with tongue in cheek. We get sick, we go to a doctor. Listen, I'm not against marriage counselors. I'm not against financial counselors. I'm certainly not against doctors. The Lord Jesus had one on his team. But we have to be careful that we don't think the world around us has all of the answers. Our hope has got to be better than that. No, the Bible is supposed to be a marked roadmap for our journey. It's the mind of God at our fingertips. Why is that the last thing we refer to? I say, what will I do? What will I do? And someone suggests, well, you need to go to a counselor. You need to go for help. You need to go into the world. Listen. I'm not saying that all of that is necessarily wrong, but why do we always wait until our deathbed, until we take the Bible off the shelf and say, I wonder what God says? So I want to take Psalm 107, which is an Old Testament passage, and it's a passage that basically refers to Israel. And allow me the luxury of just pulling these verses out of its setting of Israel. I know we're not Israel. That's okay. I know the church is different. That's okay. I know the church isn't spiritual Israel. I know that the church doesn't inherit spiritual promises that God, the physical promises that God made to Israel. I know that. Just allow me to make application this morning. Just taking some principles from an Old Testament passage. And I'm going to call these four seemingly hopeless circumstances of life and see if we can learn something from the scripture. Four seemingly hopeless circumstances of life. Where do you go when the world is crumbling around you? Where do you go when there's despair and nobody is there? Let me read. You watch your Bibles. I'm going to jump right into the context because of time. I want to make sure that we get through this. I want to go right to verse number 4. I'm going to call this the first seemingly hopeless circumstance that Israel faced, and we're going to apply it to our life. Verse number 4, Psalm 107. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. First circumstance. We're going to entitle this one, Those Who Wandered in the Wilderness. Notice, I don't know what translation you might have. Mine says solitary way. It means desolate way. A place where there is no safety, no security. But that's what they're looking for, is safety and security. Notice, they found no city. They're looking for a city. Now, in Bible times, if you could get to a city offered you some things that the wilderness and the desolate way did not offer you. For instance, a city had a wall. That's very important. And in the wall is a gate. And it's like going into security at the airport. You got to go through the gate. And there are people there at the gate. And they're filtering. They're interviewing. They're watching who comes in and out. So a walled city offered you protection that the desert didn't offer you. Something else about a city, it was generally, a city was built where there's water. So you've got provision in that city. Would I dare say they're in a desolate way? They're in a wilderness way. But they're looking for safety and security. They're looking for provision. But they couldn't find it. The commentary in verse 5 is they're hungry and thirsty. They didn't find the city. They're hungry and they're thirsty and their soul faints in them. All these thousands of years ago, very little different from today. We're very conscious about safety and security today. A third, if not more, of the advertisements you're going to see on the television is something about a security system for your house or your car. I mean, we even have, you can buy personal security systems. I'm not sure where you put them, but if somebody comes close to you, say, if you get any closer, I'll go off. It's just like, I am secure. Okay, a buzzer sound, an alarm sound. I've got pepper spray. I've got something, you know, safety and security. So we lived in Sault Ste. Marie for 25 years. One day I'm out in the yard doing something. A guy came into our neighborhood. He was selling security systems for your house. And he said, "Do you have a security system in your house?" And I said, "Well, yes, I do." And he said, what company are you with?" And I said, "Well, do you know all the major companies?" He said, "Yes, I do." I said, "Well, I'll give you the code and you see if you can tell me what company it is." He said, "Okay." I said, "This is the code, PS.34:7. I said, "Do you know that code?" He said, "No, I've never heard of that code." I said, "Well, it's in the Bible. Psalm 34, verse 7. And it says, the angel of the Lord encamps round about those that fear him and delivers them." I said, "Did you ever hear of that system?" He said, "No, it's okay." He said, "I'm just moving along." So, anyhow, listen, I'm not saying you shouldn't have a security system. We lived 25 years in Sault Ste. Marie. We never had any problem. If I got broke into every night, I'd probably put a security system on. I don't know what I'd do. But the point is, why do we always trust God last? So people are looking for security systems. something that will give them safety. Now, notice it says they didn't find the city, but nothing against Vancouver. I just don't like cities. It could be Toronto, it could be Calgary, it could be Ottawa, it could be Detroit, it could be LA. I'm just country boy. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't like cities. But cities do have a lot to offer, and biblical cities had a lot to offer, and they couldn't find one. They couldn't find what they were looking for. They couldn't find safety and security in the desert. So they're looking for a city. You know what people are looking for today? Same thing. Safety and security. Daily provision. Water. Protection. And in our seeming hopelessly circumstance, I want you to know where they were. They were wandering in the wilderness. Let me make application. There are millions of people today wandering in the wilderness of the ignorance of the ways of God. They don't have a clue. They have no clue what the Bible says. They have just somehow gone on in life with no foundation and no direction. And they're wandering in the wilderness. They're looking for things the world cannot guarantee for them. Circumstance, seemingly hopeless, not hopeless. Seemingly hopeless, number one. Number two, let me read in verse 10. Watch your Bible again. Second, seemingly hopeless circumstance. Verse number 10. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and scorned, belittled the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their hearts with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Second circumstance. First, people wandering in the wilderness of the ignorance of God's ways, trying to find safety and security. Second circumstance, these are people who sit in darkness. They're depressed. I don't know if you've ever done it or not. I have done a lot of visiting over the years in the ministry. And I've gone into houses where I need to take a flashlight with me. It's daytime. It's day. The curtains are drawn. The house is dark. It's just doom and gloom all over the place. And someone sitting there watching a TV or something, I don't know what they're doing, and the whole thing is desperate, despair, depressed, shadow of death, sitting in loneliness. Sit in darkness. You say, oh my goodness. You don't have to have a degree and to figure out these people are in trouble. See, we've coined a new phrase, sort of self-isolation. Who ever thought of that? A shelter in place. Go home, lock the door. Pull the curtains, sit in darkness. Well, that's the pandemic. That's the COVID-19. This is the scare. This is the, you know. But now, it's very interesting because the scriptures do not leave us to our own imagination to figure out what happened to these people. We got some wandering in the wilderness. They're out and about. They're looking for things. They can't find it, but they're looking for it. Okay, not these people, they're not looking. Notice what it says about these people here. It tells us why they are depressed and lonely and dark in the shadow of death. No hope, no zero. It tells us why. Look at verse 11. Because they rebelled against the word of God. Oh my. These are not people who are ignorant of the ways of God. These are people who said, I heard that before and I want nothing to do with it. These are people who perhaps went to Sunday school, raised in a Christian home, went to a gospel meeting, went to a church that presented Christ, and they said, oh, that's not for me. When I was in Bible school many years ago now, got a phone call one day at the school, and there was a lady who said, my mother is in the hospital and she's dying. Could anybody go visit her? Well, I got the short straw for some reason. I don't know how that happened. Here I am. I know nothing. I have never done a hospital visit in my life. I'm just barely a Christian. And I go to the hospital and I walk into a room to a lady I never met in my life, know nothing about her. She's drawn up in a fetal position in pain. They're giving her morphine every half hour. She is dying. I have no plan. I walk into the room. Her name is Mrs. Hewitt. I say, Mrs. Hewitt, my name is Joe Reese. Your daughter called, said you're very sick, wanted somebody to visit you. And I said, I mean, what are you going to say? How do you feel? You know, how do you feel? You're dying. Now, what? How do you do it? What do you say? I said, Mrs. Hewitt, I came to talk to you about your soul. I don't know what to say. She said, when I had my health and a dollar in my hand, I didn't want God in my life. But she said, I'm afraid to die. Can you help me? Sitting in darkness, shadow of death. Oh, she'd heard the gospel. Her whole life. She didn't want God in her life. She had her health. She had money. She had freedom. She's confined to a bed. She is dying. I didn't know it. She's only got a week to live. She died a week later. I told her about a hope, about a God that loved her, about the Son of God who died for her, to forgive her of her sins and to give her eternal life and peace with God and the guarantee of sins forgiven, a home with him. That woman, in desperation, having her mind, her body eat up with cancer, trusted Christ as her Savior. She said, will you visit me again? I went back. Second time I go back, she said, I want you to take my funeral. I said, Mrs. Hewitt, you got to get somebody else. I have never taken a funeral in my life. I wouldn't even know how to take a funeral. She said, get out your paper and pencil. She said, I'm going to tell you everything to say. You know what she said? Tell my children and my grandchildren, don't wait till you get old to trust Christ as your Savior. As the first funeral I ever took, it was still the easiest one. It was unbelievable. She passed away within a week. She rebelled. She scorned. She sat in darkness and the shadow of death. You know anybody that's rejected the word of God? Oh, I do. They're all over the place. You know, people who've been exposed to the gospel, people who had the Bible read to them as children, raised in Christian home, maybe 10, 15, 20 years of their life, heard the Bible read every day. They get out of there, they say, that is not for me. And they turn away. Listen to the warning that Peter in the New Testament gives us. He said, for people like that, it had been better for them never to have known the way of righteousness than after they know it to turn away from the commandments delivered to them. Oh, my goodness. You know, nobody can ever blame it on God. You've already had a choice. And you make a decision. And so these are not like people who are wandering away. They made a decision. I don't want God in my life. And at the end, I want you to notice, they scorned the counsel of the Most High. Look at verse 12. what happened? God brought them down with labor. They fell down. There was none to help. Oh, folks, listen, that is not what you want at the end of your life. I can tell you that. Number three, we got to hurry. Number three, verse 17. Third hopeless, seemingly hopeless circumstance. 17. Fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhors all manner of meat. They draw near to the gates of death. I say these are people who are fools because of sin. I don't call them a fool. God calls them a fool. I was a fool myself. I mean, I knew I was killing myself with drugs and alcohol and immorality. I knew that, but I didn't do anything about it. I was sick because of sin. These people are afflicted because of sin in their life, and they won't do anything to deal with it. Excuse me. They abhor, verse 18, all manner of meat, anything that would do them good, anything that would help them. And they just get closer and closer and closer to the gates of death itself. Sick because of sin. All my friends are like that. We're all sick because of sin. We're all dying. We're all pining away. It was unbelievable that we knew we were bad off. We knew we were physically, emotionally, I didn't even know about spiritually, sick, but wouldn't do anything about it. We wanted another drink, another fix, another pill, another game, another party. Just keep it going. The picture here is a picture of those who know what sin is doing to them, but they won't do anything about it. Let's go to the next one, verse 23. Verse 23. They go down to the sea in ships. They do business in great waters. They see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. He commands and raises the stormy wind, which lift up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heavens. They go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. Look at verse 27. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. First circumstance, wandering in the wilderness. Second circumstance, I don't care what God says. Third circumstance, dying sick because of sin, won't do anything about it. Fourth circumstance, at their wit's end. One day after Christmas, many years ago, I get a phone call. On the other end of that phone, I hear a man trying to explain to me that his nephew has committed suicide in their home, who was visiting them, and the wife screaming at the top of her lungs behind him. I said, "Did you call the police?" He said, "No." I said, "Call the police. I'll be there." I got there before the police got there. A young man, 18 years old, hung himself with a suitcase strap on a door handle of the closet in a sitting position. You gotta wanna die to do that. I looked around, I found a sketch pad in the room, looking for a note or something. I found a sketch pad where he'd drawn out pictures of men and women, mostly in the nude, but every one of them had something the same. Balls and chains, fetters. They were all locked up. They were all in shackles. Several pictures. I looked at that young man, I looked at that, and I thought that's the way he felt. He felt like he had no hope. He felt like no matter what happens, nothing will ever fix it. That he was chained with no hope. He took his life that day. 16-year-old boy went for a joyride in his dad's truck without asking his dad permission. Picked up his friend. It was in the winter. He lost control of the truck, wrapped it around a telephone pole. His friend jumped out and said, "You're in trouble now," and his friend ran home. Well, the boy that took the truck ran home too, went into the basement, took his dad's hunting rifle and shot himself. Why? At his wit's end. No hope. No hope. Some people are wandering in the wilderness. Some people are scorning the word of God. Some people say, "I don't care what sin is doing." And others have just given up. No hope. Quickly, if you're wandering in the wilderness and you can't find what you're looking for, what should you do? Look at verse number 6. Look at your Bible, verse number 6. "Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses." Oh, if you had scorned the word of God and you're depressed and you're sitting in darkness and the shadow of death and you're all by yourself and there's nobody to help, what would you do? Look at verse 13. "They cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distress." Oh, look at verse 19. What if he said, "I know sin is killing me"? What would you do? "They cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses." What if you were at your wit's end? What would you do? Verse 28. "They cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distresses." Let me tell you something. We really learned something here. I hope you get it. You may not be wandering in the wilderness. You may have not scorned the word of God. You may have not let sin destroy your life. And you may not be at your wit's end. But I don't care what category you are in, I know the answer. Cry to the Lord. And in every situation we looked at, there's one answer. Cry to the Lord. What does the New Testament tell us? "They that call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you need salvation, you can be saved. If you need deliverance out of a circumstance as a believer, you can be saved. You can be delivered out of that problem, out of that situation. Maybe you're wandering around, you don't know what to do, you've scorned the word of God, you got sin in your life, you haven't dealt with it, you're at your wit's end, it's okay. Call on the Lord. That's your only hope. What would God do for those who are wandering in the wilderness if they called on him? Look at verse 7. "He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation, a place of safety." What if you were sitting in darkness because you'd rebelled and you cried unto the Lord? Look at verse 14. "He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their bands in sunder." What if sin was killing you and you confessed that to the Lord? You dealt with that. You called on his name. Look at verse 20. "He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions." And if you were at your wit's end and you called on the Lord, look at verse 29. "He makes the storm a calm so that the waves thereof are still. They are glad because they be quiet. He brings them to their desired haven." Not the stormy seas of life. What'd they do? They called on the Lord. That's what they did. A few years ago, I was having some gospel meetings in way up north, way northern Ontario, way up, James Bay area. A guy stayed after a meeting one night and said, "I'd like to be saved." I said, "Oh." So we went over the gospel and he made a profession of faith. Afterwards, I talked to one of the elders. I said, "You know that guy?" They said, "Oh yeah, we know him." I said, "What's his story?" He said, "He and another fella got drinking and got in a fight and he killed the other fella. He just got out of prison. 2 weeks ago. I said, oh. Said while he was in prison, his wife ran off with another man. Somebody set fire to their house, and he lost both of his children, and his wife is gone. He got out of prison, said he came home, found out what had happened. He went down to the bridge over the icy waters below and jumped off last week, tried to kill himself. He was at his wit's end. He said, I need the Lord. That's what he said to me. Listen, that's your only hope, folks. Not the system. The prodigal found that out. Not the world. The world doesn't have the answers. But Jesus does. If you were wandering in the wilderness and you cried to the Lord and he met your need, what do you think you would say? Look at verse number 8, please. Verse number 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. If you were sitting in darkness and despair because you had scorned the word of God and you had no hope and you were bound in iron and affliction and you called out to God and he met your needs, he led you out of there, what would you say? Look at verse number 15. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, his wonderful works to the children of men. You can't make this stuff up. If sin was the problem, and finally you cried out to the Lord, and he delivered you from that, what would you say? Verse 21, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and his wonderful works to the children of men. You're at your wit's end, and you cried out to the Lord, and he saved you. What would you say? Verse 31. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Hope? I only know one place. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Next week, we're going to talk more about hope. I hope you bring some friends and you'll come back and we'll learn that there is only one solid rock and his name is Jesus. I recommend turn to the scriptures, turn to the Lord Jesus, call upon his name today. Let's pray. Lord, you have given us hope in a world of despair. It doesn't matter if it's alcohol or COVID-19 or terrorists or cancer. It doesn't matter. The answer is still the same. Then they called upon the Lord in their troubles, and he saved them out of their distresses. Father, I pray for everyone today that they might hear the voice of God and call on the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. All right, Andrew, our